Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. All right, we're talking about faith today. Faith that takes. Faith that takes. Now, the last 2 weeks we preached about idolatry, and I think you got about enough as you could take. I could have said some more comments today. I'll leave that to you. You go back and listen to the previous 2 weeks. So if you weren't here with us, the Lord is dealing with our hearts. He's pulling idols down in our lives. Amen. Why? Because the scripture says in Acts, after repentance comes what? Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Amen. So if you weren't here the last 2 weeks, I encourage you to listen to those messages. Let the Lord deal with you in your own life. Pull down those things in your life that might not be pleasing to Him, and see refreshing come about. Amen. So, but we're going on with faith today, and I want to begin today in Luke chapter 12. Now, before we read these verses, I want to reiterate with you a truth that I've shared before. When you and I got born again, when we received Jesus into our lives, it was as if Jesus, He said this about Himself. He said, I am the door, right? I am the door. And when you got saved, being born again was like stepping up to the entrance of a great mall, ladies. Shopping mall, yeah. And the ladies said amen. All right? But salvation got you in the door. But the kingdom is the mall itself. Are you with me? Now, it's not that we ever let go of Jesus. He is our salvation. He is our lifelong pursuit. He is our lifelong everything, you know, the sole focus of our being. However, Jesus wants us to go on and grow in what it means to be in the kingdom. Yeah. He wants you to step on inside the mall and enjoy kingdom living. Are you with me? Yeah. Many Christians get saved and then just live like heathens the rest of their life. They never renew their mind. They just live like normal humans. And Paul said in Corinthians, he said, you are acting like mere men. Did you know we're not supposed to behave like mere men? Amen. We're not. Because we're not mere men. We're born again. We have been given entrance into a glorious kingdom. Amen. And look at Luke chapter 12, verse 27, what Jesus says here. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Amen? Jesus came not only to save us from our sins, but to bring the kingdom. To bring us into a heaven-like experience here on earth. Did you know that that's part of your inheritance? That is your inheritance. See, many Christians live so far below that. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. The Father is pleased to give you. And then in the Young's literal translation, I was going to put this up on a slide. I didn't get it quite in place. But in the Young's literal, let me read it to you in the Young's literal. It's so good. So good. Yeah, she agrees. Fear not, little flock, because your Father did delight to give you the rain. What is that? Did is a word that is in what tense? Past tense. Jesus said, with my coming, the Father already gave you the kingdom. Are you with me? What has Jesus done for us by dying on the cross? He has already given. In fact, the fact that he came shows that the Father already gave us the whole kingdom. Are you with me? The fact that God was willing to send Jesus to die for us, to bring us into the kingdom, shows us that from the Father's perspective, he's already given us the whole kingdom. Are you with me? All right. Don't worry. She's happy. All right. Let's look at some other scriptures. John 3:16. John 3:16. She's very happy today. That's a good sign right there. John 3:16 says this. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Gave is what tense? Past tense. God loved us so much that he gave. And there are things that have been given through the work of the cross. Now, the cross happened 2,000 years ago. It's already done. The Father, through the cross, has already given or gave, past tense, the whole kingdom to you and I. Are you with me? Look at another verse. We're going to do some Bible drills here today, so keep your fingers limber here. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what?
All things.
If God was willing to give us Jesus, the word is saying here, he is willing to give us what? All things. All has been given. The question is, how much have we taken? You don't have to answer that today. Just answer it to yourself. All has been given. How much has been taken? All right, let's look at one more verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. Just hammering in some truth here. 2 Peter 1, 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. We're talking about faith that takes. Saints, I want to provoke you today that there's a lot on the table that you and I have not taken. God's already given it to us. We just read in John 3:16, God so loved that he gave. It's done. Romans 8:32 we read, he's given us Jesus, therefore he's given us all things. And Peter says it this way in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power, what? Hath, if you read in King James, hath is what? Past tense. Hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How does it come to us? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. How are you going to know what God has given you? Through this book right here.
That's right.
Through the knowledge of what's been given to you. This is the last will and testament of God the Father in the new covenant. When someone dies and they leave behind a written will, or we call that a last will and testament, they tell you everything they're giving you, including their debts and bills. Hopefully none of that, I'm just kidding. But they give you the house, the car, the dog, the whatever, the old rocking chair grandma passed down. They put in their last will and testament everything that's coming to you. And Peter says here, these things, life and godliness, all these things that God's divine power has given us, it comes through the knowledge. Say with me, the knowledge. How does it come to you? Through the knowledge. That's why you got to get in the book. You have to read. And if you need it, get you a headlamp. It'll help you read it. Okay? He's given us all things. The question is, what have we taken? You see, it's wrong. It's actually unbelief for us to ask God for something he's already given us. It's unbelief to ask him for something he's already given us. What if your child, what if they said, you know, Dad, can I have the keys to the car? Dad, can I have this? Dad, and you said, yeah, here, son. They're old enough, mature enough, you know they're not going to wreck it or destroy it or whatever. And you said, yeah, and you give them that thing. And then they come to you 10 minutes later and go, can I have the such and such? Please, Dad. And they start begging and pleading. They get on their knees. They start crying. Hey, I've already given it to you. Now just take it and go enjoy it. See, God has given us all things.
Amen.
By giving us Jesus. And Jesus said it before he ever went to the cross. He said, don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been delighted to give you the whole kingdom. Welcome to the mall. Come into the mall. Come into the blessing. Come into the provision. You need healing in your body? It's been given. You need financial support? It's been given. The blessing has been given. We just sang about it a few moments ago. The blessing. God hath blessed us. His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Amen. Through the knowledge. Now, the devil does his best keeping you and I from the knowledge. Because once you know something, you can take it. Once you know it's yours, you can take it. But until you know it's been given, the devil keeps you blinded from the truth. You won't know what's been given, and you'll suffer lack. There's a famous story of a guy that was on a cruise ship. I think he had stowed away. And for all these days that he was on this ship, this is like back 100 years ago, like the old cruise ships, like the Queen Mary, that kind of cruise ship. And he's hiding out, and he's starving himself. You know, he's just kind of living off crackers and crumbs and things he can find here and there. He didn't realize that as part of, he didn't stow away. He had like a lower class ticket, but what he didn't realize is that his ticket included meals, okay? Meals are included with the boat ride, okay? So he suffered in terms of his eating the whole trip, not realizing he could go to the dining hall every night just like everybody else and feast away. All right? Why? Because he had no knowledge of what had been given. It's so important to know what's yours so you can take it. And I'm telling you, saints, all has been given. When we talk about taking faith, we're not talking about demanding from God in an arrogant, disrespectful fashion. We're talking about respectfully, gratefully, humbly coming to the table and receiving what God has given us. Think of it this way. If a rich man had given you access to his bank account and not only said, here's this endless bank account. Wow, what a great thought. And he gives you his checkbook and you know, a way to stamp his signature on it and all the withdrawal slips that you need for, you know, a year's worth of enjoyment. And then you don't go to the bank and partake of it. Well, you're missing out. But when you go to the bank, you know that he's given this to you. You can drive up with confidence. Amen. You put that deposit slip in. You write that. You stamp that check. Say, I need this, or that withdrawal slip, I should say, not deposit slip, because you're not putting the money in. You're taking it out. But you're simply exercising what's been given to you. You're withdrawing from his account what he's already freely given to you. Amen. There's no arrogance in that. There's confidence and joy in that. So when we talk about faith that takes, we're talking about a faith that says, God has given it to me. I know it's mine. I simply step up and receive it. Are you with me? It's a deliberate act. It's intentionality. And that's the kind of faith that we want to provoke you into today. Now, I want to talk a bit about faith in general right now. In our human experience, we have five senses. The sense of sight, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. Okay? Five senses. And when you got saved, you and I believed on the authority of God's word that we were forgiven of our sins simply by faith. Before we ever felt forgiven, smelt forgiven, saw forgiven, we couldn't put our hands on forgiven. We simply believed it in our heart by faith. And saints, this is the way every blessing in the kingdom comes to us. The same way you got saved, the same way you got forgiven is the way you partake of every blessing. Initially, we became what's called people of faith. You know, people looking from the outside on to somebody who goes to church, they'll say, well, so-and-so is a person of faith. You know, they believe, they're a believer. We got to settle this from the get-go that we are people of faith. Amen? We are people of faith, period. We got saved by faith. We get every blessing from the Father. How? By faith. By faith. In salvation, you received Jesus first by faith, and then all the wonderful results of that reception came later. A clear conscience, joy in your heart, peace in your heart. Those things came to you after you received Christ. It's the same way with every blessing. We receive Christ first, and afterward we get the results. Afterward we get the results. Are you with me? The results come after what? You receive. You receive first, then the results come. Are you with me? That's how you got saved. You received, someone preached the gospel to you. You believed it. Joy and peace rose up in your heart as you got born again. And the results overflowed from that. But you received it first by faith. What is faith? The Bible defines faith for us in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 1. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Have y'all outgrown reading this verse? Anybody in here outgrown reading Hebrews 11, 1? If you have, you can come teach today. It's like, you know, you don't buy a t-shirt that says, I ate broccoli. No, you eat broccoli, right? To live, you eat broccoli. The rest of your life, you should eat broccoli here and there. Not every day. I'm not saying every meal. Don't go overboard. But we eat. We don't say we ate. And so the same way with Hebrews 11:1. You don't buy a t-shirt that says, I read Hebrews 11:1 way long time ago. No, we read Hebrews 11:1. Amen? Amen? And this is the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. One translation, my wife's favorite translation, New American Standard Version, says, faith is the conviction. The conviction. How do you know you have the blessing? Because you take it by faith. You just are convicted in here. This is mine. God has given such and such, whether it be healing, whether it be financial blessing, whether it be the restoration of your family, your children coming to Jesus, the future of your life being filled with hope. Whatever the blessing is, you take it by faith, and that faith is the evidence. It's all the evidence you need. Faith is the confident evidence. It is the tangibility that we rely on. One translator said this, faith is like the title deed. The title deed. What's a title deed? Well, if you had enough money in the bank, you could go online, say, I'm going to buy this house over in Alabama or Florida. You could buy it from right here in your living room on Texas, you know. You find the house, you say, you negotiate the price. You can do everything online nowadays. You type in the price, say the seller agrees to the price. You say, here, I'm going to wire the money to you. You wire the money, all electronic. Everything can be done electronic. It's amazing, isn't it? And then you wire the money to them, and what do? They send you the title deed. And what is that title deed? It's the proof of ownership. It's the proof, the evidence that you now own a house you bought completely out of state. Sight unseen. Yeah. Have you been in the house yet? Nope. Have you touched the brick on the outside? Nope. Have you smelt that new house smell?
Nope.
But the title deed is the full evidence that you own that house. Faith is the title deed. It's the evidence of ownership. Are you with me? Faith is the evidence. In your hand is a book full of title deeds to every blessing that God has given you. He didn't just give you the entrance to the mall. He gave you the whole bloomin' mall when you got saved. Jesus said, be not afraid, little children. Your Father has been delighted to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. Every blessing we'll ever need has been given. Has been given. Amen? And this is the title deed. The evidence. The only evidence we need in order to take that thing. Here's some interesting comments about faith. Faith requires us to believe beyond the realm of the senses. We said just a moment ago, what are the five senses? Sight, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. Thank you. But faith requires us to go beyond that realm of the five senses. You must already have perfume before you can smell it, right? You must have in your hand a bottle of perfume before your nose could detect you've got perfume nearby. To the realm of your hearing, perfume doesn't exist. To the realm of your ears, perfume doesn't exist, right? You could have it right there in your hands. It could be so close, you could smell it, you know, without trying. But your ear doesn't detect perfume, does it? Why? Because it's a different sensor. That's the way faith works. Faith doesn't require us to see the blessing in advance to take it. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Faith is dead to sight, just like hearing is dead to smelling. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. I said faith is dead to sight, like hearing is dead to smelling. Any contrary evidence to the senses is no reason to doubt God's word. Anything contrary to the senses, you've been prayed for this morning and you went back to your seat and you still feel pain, does that mean that God's word is not true? Does that mean that you have not been given healing by the stripes of Jesus? No. Your senses are just lying to you. They're trying to override that which has been given. If you will, your ears are not hearing the perfume. Okay. Jesus said in John 3:36, he that believeth hath. Let's look at that verse real quick in the King James, John 3:36. We're building a foundation in this morning's message of faith, and then I have a prophetic word at the end of this message for you that I believe is for today specifically. John 3:36. I like it in the King James. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Are you with me? Yes. He that believeth what? Hath, or has, for saying in modern English. He that believeth has. Do you believe?
Yes.
Then you have. Even before you have. Are you with me? Before you have, before you put your hands on it, if you truly believe in your heart and you receive that blessing by faith, whatever the blessing is, if you take it respectfully, deliberately, with your will, you receive that blessing from God and you take it. Jesus said, he that believeth hath. You already have it before you really have it. Are you with me?
Yes.
Before you see it, that is. Look at another verse, John 6:47. John 6:47 reiterates the same idea. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Are you with me? God would have us believe his word before we see any perceptible confirmation or difference. That's true faith.
Yes.
Saints, if you see it, that's not faith. So when you get prayed for to be healed and you go back to your seat and sit down and you go, well, I still feel pain. So, the question is, do you believe that you got your healing when we prayed? Because he that believeth hath.
Amen.
He that believeth hath. It's possible to possess before you possess by sight. Are you with me? It's possible to possess the blessings of God before you possess it in a manifest way. Did you know that? In fact, the only way you're going to possess it in a manifest way is to first possess it in here. He that believeth hath. You've got to hath it first in here, in your heart. You've got to believe it first, and then it will manifest. It's his part to confirm our faith with signs following. Let me read that again. God would have us believe his word without any perceptible confirmation. It's his part to confirm our faith with signs following. What does God confirm?
Faith.
God confirms faith. When you believe, you will have. When you believe truly in your heart, and you take that thing, whatever that blessing is, you will have it. First here, and then here, in your hands, before you. See, we get the cart before the horse. And what the devil does to trip us up is he gets us talking about what we don't have out here. He gets us saying with our mouth, and what are we doing? We're digging up the seed of faith. We're taking a shovel, and it's like planting a little infant seed. You go to your flower bed, and you plant some roses or some tulips or things that ladies plant in flower beds, and you plant that thing in there. You got to water it. You got to fertilize it. You got to wait, and you got to trust, and you got to water it some more, even though you don't see anything sprouting up from the ground. But every time you open your mouth and say, there's nothing in there, it's like taking a shovel and just digging it up, digging it up. I don't have my healing yet. Why hasn't God healed me yet? Why hasn't my bank account changed? Why haven't I had the breakthrough financially I've been believing for? You're digging up your seed. You're digging up your seed. You're digging up your seed. You're not hathing. You're not hathing the fifth. You got to have it here in your mouth as much as you do in your heart. How did you get saved? You believed in your heart. You confess with your mouth. How do you get any other blessing in the mall of the kingdom of God? You got to believe in your heart. You got to confess with your mouth.
Amen.
Before you see it. Before you perceive it. Even in the light of contrary evidence. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, 7. It's interesting that Peter uses the word trial here. The trial of our faith. What did Peter observe the night that Jesus was being brought before the Jewish leadership? He observed Jesus on trial. Jesus on trial. And he says here that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trying of our what? Our faith. Say it out loud. The trying of our faith. Verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, ye yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter says that blind faith is more precious than gold. Faith that doesn't see but believes is more precious than gold. He goes on to say that such believing without seeing gives you joy unspeakable, full of glory. Saints, you'll know when you got it in here, in your heart, when joy rises up and glory rises up. Why? Because your faith is alive. You're taking that promise of God. You've taken it in here long before you see it out here. And Peter said it'll fill your heart with joy unspeakable and full of God's glory. Nothing Peter had ever seen gave him as much joy as he now had by believing without seeing. Believing without seeing. Did you know we're called to live a life of believing without seeing? Now, eventually we will see. Eventually we will see the promise fulfilled. But we're called to walk by believing without seeing. Saying that phrase with me. Believing without seeing. Say it again. Believing without seeing. Why do we think that that's supposed to be foreign to our experience in the Lord? Peter said, it's the trying of your faith, this experience of believing without seeing. In other words, it's normal. We would call that normal faith living, believing without seeing. And we're to be people of faith. This kind of faith is more precious than gold, Peter said. Look at verse 9 again. I want to chew on verse 9 just a little bit. He said, you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What is receiving? Receiving is believing without seeing. How do I know when you've really received the promise in your heart? When you're believing it in here without having seen any change, any evidence. What is receiving? Believing without seeing. Receiving the goal of your faith, Peter talks about here, is believing without seeing. That's what receiving is. That's how we take the promise of God. We take it by believing without seeing. And then once we do, it will eventually manifest. It will eventually manifest. Late one night, I was out in the backyard, my most recent fire pit that I was burning. I love to burn up lumber. My fire pit and sit and stare at flames. So I was doing that late one night recently. I was just about to strike the match strike the fire, and I don't use matches. That's cheating. I do it the old-fashioned way. But anyways, I was about to do it the old-fashioned way and start my fire, and all of a sudden in the dark of night, it was late, she had gone on to bed, and all of a sudden I heard what sounded like a gunshot go off in the house. It sounded like in the next door neighbor's driveway. I mean, boom! And I was like, oh my gosh. You know, thoughts run through my mind. Someone's breaking in. Their wayward grandson is getting into all kinds of trouble, whatever. I run in the house and said, did you hear that? She's like, blurry-eyed, like, what? So I call the cops. What? Why did I call the cops? Because I heard something even though I didn't see something. In my mind's eye, I could perceive a gun going off and people being in trouble. I heard the gunshot even though I didn't see the gunshot, and subsequently I found nothing. Actually, I walked the neighborhood and didn't see him. I never found the burglar, Danny, but somebody fired a gun, I swear. No, that gunshot went off. So in like fashion, my ears were overriding my eyes. I didn't see the shooter, but I heard it. And that's the way faith works. Faith is just picked up by a different sensor than your normal five senses. Faith is what happens in here. Faith reads a promise from God. And you ever read your Bible and all of a sudden a promise from this book just leaps off the page at you? It highlights. Yeah. It just, and that is the Holy Spirit quickening to you faith. That's faith coming alive to you. It's like hearing something even though you don't see it. Like I heard that gunshot there. Just because I didn't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So in the kingdom, our blessings that come to us, even though we don't see them outwardly yet, and I stress the word yet, because they will come if you won't quit believing without seeing, they will come to you. But just because we don't see them yet does not mean they don't exist. And let me say this, every blessing of the new covenant exists in two forms, invisible and then visible. Invisible and then visible. The invisible is the faith realm. That's the part when we have to believe that we receive it. And Jesus said in Mark 11:24, and then ye shall what? Have it. When you pray, believe that you receive it, and ye shall have it. The second part, blessings finally do manifest. They do become visible. So they start off with us in the invisible form. Every blessing of God that Jesus purchased, mind you. We're not talking about something that you're demanding from God that you made up in your own wishes or your own desires to get from God. We're talking about what Jesus has already given through his work at the cross. Those blessings start off in the invisible form, and then they become visible in the sense realm. Our believing doesn't create the blessings, but it enables them to become manifest. Let me read that again. Our believing in the blessings of God does not create the blessing. They already exist. In which realm? The unseen realm, the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm, even though it's not seen, is not non-existent. It's just not seen. As an example, in the Old Testament, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant so he can see." Remember when Elisha was surrounded by the Samaritan army? They were near Samaria. They were surrounded by the bad guys. We'll put it that way. The bad guys were surrounding him. And his servant looked out the window and said, "What are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Lord," because Elisha already saw in here, and with his eyes too, he had discerning of spirits. And he saw the angels surrounding the city. But he said, "Lord, open his eyes," the servant. Now, the angels existed already before the servant's eyes were opened, did they not? So Elisha's prayer did not help create the angels. They already existed. Are you with me? So when you begin believing in your heart for something from God, and you begin speaking with your mouth, "I'm believing for such and such. I'm believing God for such and such. I'm putting my faith out there for such and such." When you start doing that, you're not creating that thing. That thing already exists. Are you with me? In the spirit realm, it exists. It's, in fact, it doesn't just exist. It's got your name on it. It's like, you know, in the old days at Walmart, if you didn't have enough money to pay for Christmas, you put stuff in layaway, right?
Yeah.
This is going back a ways. We were poor and young, but still a consumer, American consumer. We go in and we say, "I want this, this, and this for Rachel for Christmas." Put it in layaway. You know, I'm going to pay on it as I can. Right? And what is sitting on your shelf in that layaway room on that shelf, it's got what? It's got your name on it. Well, heaven goes one step further. It's already paid in full. It's got your name on it and it's paid in full. Praise the Lord. It's just a matter of us taking that thing, that blessing. So our faith doesn't create the blessing. The blessing already exists because Jesus created it. He bought it for you. Are you with me?
Amen.
Jesus gave you complete healing in your body from your birth to your death. Every time an ache comes up, every time you strain a muscle, every time you get a headache, anything that will actually happen to you physically in this realm, in this thing we call human existence, from the cradle to the grave, has already been provided for by Jesus. That healing has been provided for that thing that you and I will ever face. It's already been paid for. It's got your name on it. It exists. So for you and I not to take the blessing is to leave it on the shelf, unretrieved, unclaimed. Our believing doesn't create the blessing. It simply enables them to become manifest. That's so powerful. The blessings of the new covenant are outlined in Jesus' last will and testament. I said this earlier. Our part is to take and receive that which has already been given. Look at one more verse in Revelation 22:17. Then we're going to land this plane. Two more verses, I'm sorry. Revelation 22:17, and then one more verse after that. And then another, and then another, and then another. I'm just kidding. Revelation 22:17. Look at it with me there. It says this: "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him who is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Saints, our job is to take. God has already given every blessing that you will ever need in this life. It's your responsibility to take it by faith. He says right here, and let him who will, let him take. Whosoever will. Are you a whosoever? God doesn't play favorites. God doesn't bless the televangelist and you go poor. God doesn't bless the preacher and you go hungry. No, whosoever will. whosoever will, let him or her take. Take. We're commanded here to take that which has been freely given. Take it. It's yours. Take it. It's yours. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the thought that I feel like the Lord really wanted me to remind you of. I've taught this before, so I'm not going to elaborate on it. But last year, the Holy Spirit illuminated a principle to us from the Gospels. It's one of those weird verses, and there's a lot of weird verses in the Gospels. Trust me. Because Jesus was talking to his own people, the Jews, before the initiation of the new covenant. You might say they were right at a breakover period. It was like a right before a change, a major change between the old covenant and the new covenant. And Jesus comes on the earth, and for 3 years he's talking to his own people, and he's introducing to them this idea, these concepts of what is this new thing that's about to happen, the death and resurrection of me. And he's introducing this new covenant. And in his language to his people, sometimes the verses are very odd and hard to perceive. But the Holy Spirit revealed a truth to us last year. I want to just reiterate with it, because I feel like for most of us in here, the enemy has tried very, very hard to steal from you what's already been given to you. All right, so let's look at Matthew 13:12. I'm not going to stay long on this. I just want to share this with you real quick, and then we're going to go. Matthew 13:12. This principle was highlighted by the Holy Spirit, I want to say last fall or so. I preached the message on this from Matthew 13:12. Matthew 13:12 says this: "For whosoever hath," how many hathers do we have in here? All right. "To him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." And that's a strange verse. Because it says, if you don't have, how can he take away something that you don't already have? Because the reality is you do have it. You just don't value it. You just don't appreciate it. You just don't see it. That's what Jesus is really saying here. Let me put it in the Scott translation. "Whosoever hath and values what he hath and acknowledges what he hath and declares and cultivates what he hath, to him more will be given." Amen. Are you with me? That's kind of my interpretation of that verse. "But to him who hath not," that is, to him who devalues what he hath and minimizes what he hath and belittles what he hath and speaks negative of and uproots by his bad speech, his negative words about what God has already given him. In other words, do you call the glass half full or half empty? Is the glass half full or is it half empty? See, because many times we get prayer for healing and we go back to our seats, or we get prayer for healing over the phone or whatever, and we say, "Oh, I feel a little bit better." You know, a day or two goes by and we start to feel a little bit better, 10%, 20%, 30% better. We go, "Oh, I still got that ache." Yeah, but is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Are you at 30%? You're 30% whole. You're 50% whole. It's what we emphasize. It's what we emphasize. Our estimation, in other words, how we view the thing in our heart, and our declaration, that which we say about it, can nix the blessing of God. Are you with me? How you esteem it, how you estimate it, and what you declare about it can uproot and totally undo everything God just did. Because remember, many times Jesus told parables about the kingdom of heaven. He would use agriculture. What happens in agriculture? Plants grow. We got to nurture them. We got to water them. But they grow, and it takes time. It takes time. Not every blessing of God comes to you and I instantly. I know everything else in life nowadays comes to us instantly, right? I mean, boom, you can order anything on the internet, boom, it's practically at your doorstep that afternoon. But in the kingdom, things take time. "To him who hath, more will be given. To him who hath not," or devalues what he really has to a certain degree, "even what little he had will be taken away." And the enemy is coming to us. I believe this is a word of prophecy the Lord has for us today, that the enemy has tried to come and steal or devalue what God has already given. You've moved into the blessing a little bit, but it's not the fullness of what you really wanted to see. So you don't hardly acknowledge it, or you don't give thanks for it, or you don't rejoice in it. You lose sight of, you get disillusioned by the, you know, well, it's not the big picture, so it's nothing. Well, you know, when Jesus received the loaves and the fish from the little boy, the Happy Meal, as they call it, The little boy came to him. When his disciples came to him, he said, let's give the people, the multitude, something to eat. And they said, Lord, you know, a year's wages couldn't feed all these people. And one of the disciples says, well, we have a little boy here with, you know, a Happy Meal, basically. But what is this among so many? What does he do? I think it was Philip that said it. He said, he basically devalues what little God had to work with. And see, that's what we do oftentimes. God begins to work in our life. He begins to open a door. It doesn't look like the big, you know, trumpet announcing city gate opening before us, but God begins to open a door. And through that small door of potential blessing, you know, more of the fullness of God is desiring to come into our life, but we devalue it. We, like that apostle, we say, well, what is it among so many? Yeah, are you with me?
Good.
We hath not it. We devalue it. And so the enemy steals from us the very blessing that God would bring. Listen, saints, when blessing starts to come, even in small increments, the Bible says in another passage in the Old Testament, despise not the day of small beginnings. Small beginnings. So the Lord's reminding us today, when like he reminded Gideon, when he looked at Gideon, and Gideon was facing this innumerable army, the Midianites, and God said, go in this your strength. Go in this your strength. Take what you got, Gideon. Don't look at what you don't have. Take what you have and apply it. To him who has, more will be given. And actually, things went in reverse for Gideon. He started off with like 20, 30,000 guys. And he said, anybody who's afraid, go home. And I think like 20,000 of them left. Okay, next. Now, and then they went down to the water brook. And, you know, certain ones drank a certain way. God says, weed out the rest. He got down to 300 men. It's like he's going in negative. He's going in reverse. And he's about to go out to battle against this huge army. But see, that's the way the kingdom works. And this is where the devil steals from us. And I believe what the Lord is trying to quicken to us today is that he has already begun giving to us. He has already begun breakthrough in our life. He's already begun bringing us into what we've been believing for. But because we haven't seen the full manifestation, because we haven't seen, like I said, the fanfare, and you know, the whole culmination of what we've been believing for, we start to devalue it or belittle it. And with our mouth, we literally dig it up. Did you know when you get to saying what Satan wants you to say with your mouth? Oh, you're on the losing team then. We must say what God says about the situation.
Amen.
Believe in your heart and declare with your mouth what God has done. And he has blessed us with every blessing. Saints, it's yours. And God looks at us and he's set the whole table for us, the banqueting table. And he says, now come. Let him, whosoever will, come and take freely. Amen? Why don't you stand together with me? So we're going to take a moment to pray, and I want you to just ask the Lord in a moment to shine the spotlight on the area of your life that you have seen defeat in lately. I believe there's some defeat that the enemy's tried to gain some ground and to bring defeat in us in areas where God has already begun working to bring the victory. It's just that it came so slowly or came in such small increments that we were ungrateful, and in our heart we were half-nodding it. And so therefore, even that which we had was being stolen from us. Are you with me? And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just come and shine his spotlight on that area of our life this morning. So would you bow your head with me? Father, we thank you today that you're here. Lord, I ask you right now to show us where we've left doors open through unbelief spoken from our own lips. Through us voicing what the enemy wanted us to say about the situation, we have become partners with him in our own destruction. And Holy Spirit, now, shine your light on what you've done in us. Through the work of the cross, we declare that every blessing has been given. You said in your word today, Father, you have been delighted to give us the whole kingdom. And so we pull up to the table today and we partake of the whole kingdom. We thank you, Lord. We'll leave no blessing on the table. And Lord, right now, I just ask you to reveal to our hearts. Show us where we have stepped back in our faith, where we have not trusted you fully and not taken with the hand of faith that which you've already given. Show us, Lord. We repent. We turn from it. And we lay hold of by faith every blessing that you've given us. Lord, we know it came at a dear price, the price of your life on Calvary. You poured out your blood. You suffered in your flesh, Jesus, to give us the kingdom. And Lord, we say yes. We say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus in your heart, you need to be born again. You have not accepted the Lord yet, have not accepted the very basic blessing of all, which is forgiveness of sins, salvation. If you're here today and you say, Scott, I want to receive Jesus in my heart. I want to be saved. Just raise your hand real high. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. I won't embarrass you, but I want to have you pray a prayer out loud with me. To do that, just raise your hand right where you're at and we'll acknowledge that. Anybody at all? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord has spread the banqueting table for us. Amen. Amen. I believe you're going to leave here today. The enemy's plans for you and I have been foiled. The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. And where the enemy has tried to bring unbelief in your heart, tried to get you to partner with him for lack, I believe the Holy Spirit's exposed it today. And I believe you're going to step up to the table and you're going to step up to victory in every area in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer of any kind, anybody that didn't come up earlier and you still would like us to agree with you in prayer, or you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have not yet received your prayer language, the language that Jesus speaks about in 1 Corinthians 14, where we can talk to God, mysteries. The Bible says mysteries. We can utter mysteries in the heavens and we can pray the perfect prayer. Romans 8 says when you pray according to the will of the Spirit, you are praying the perfect will of God. So if that's you today and you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to stick around behind and we're going to allow for prayer for that as well. So God bless you as you go. Have a great week and realize the whole kingdom has been given to you in Jesus. Amen.
Next week we're here.
And next week we'll be back here again. Praise the Lord.